Special report, coronavirus update. President Trump pushed for the reopening of houses of worship this weekend, calling them essential institutions.
The president threatened to override any governor who does not allow for the reopening of churches. That's legally questionable, but the push for church is not necessarily mutually exclusive with the push for safety. Dr. Deborah Birks.
Each one of the leaders in the faith community should be in touch with their local health departments so that they can communicate to their congregants.
Birks and the president are counting on congregations to social distance, while some faith leaders insist they can open their houses of worship to large crowds, citing the First Amendment for defiance. Bob Costantini, the White House.
Increased digital dependency amid the pandemic has seen a rise in cybercrime. The UN disarmament chief told the Security Council there's been a 600% increase in malicious emails during the crisis. The frequency of cyber attacks estimated at one every 39 seconds. I'm Barbara Cusack. The 102-year-old car rental company Hertz has seen its crippling debt lead to a bankruptcy filing.
Hertz was already billions in debt when the coronavirus outbreak, which has crippled global travel, pushed the nation's number two car rental company over the edge. In March, Hertz let thousands of employees go, but it was too late to save the company. Hertz and its subsidiaries, Dollar and Thrifty, will continue to operate under a Chapter 11 restructuring status. I'm Carrie Shoemaker.
A Washington Post report indicates the Trump administration talked last week about whether to carry out its first nuclear test explosion since 1992 as it accused Russia and China of conducting low-yield nuclear tests. Citing a senior official, among others, the paper said the decision was made then to avoid a resumption of testing. I'm Barbara Cusack.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage, $75 per month level rate for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110 per month, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rate guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. If you're a smoker, we have great rates available for you as well. At Termbusters, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. If you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call today for a quote at 1-800-569-5440. That's 1-800-569-5440. You're probably paying more than you should. Call Termbusters, 1-800-569-5440, or visit our website at termbusters.net. Remember, 1-800-569-5440. Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting. Exam required to qualify.
Flags are flying at half-staff this Memorial Day weekend to honor those lost to the coronavirus.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer wrote to President Trump earlier this week asking that flags fly at half-staff as coronavirus deaths reach 100,000. Pelosi says this helps Americans process their collective grief.
We're here for my own constituents and for my colleagues have a much-needed expression of grief and recognition for the loss that it is to our country.
The president issued the order to fly the flags at half-staff as the death toll in America topped 95,000. Linda Kenyon, Washington.
A U.S. Navy warship successfully tested a new high-energy laser weapon that can destroy aircraft mid-flight, according to a statement from the Navy's Pacific Fleet. Videos provided show the transport dock ship USS Portland executing the laser to disable an aerial drone aircraft earlier in the month. I'm Barbara Cusack.
This is a commercial announcement. Picture this scenario. A shortage of fuel has closed your electric utility, or any possible disaster has just devastated your town. You're out of power, no lights, and no news. That's why federal and state agencies urge every home to have an emergency radio. Now you can get a free Dynamo World Band emergency radio. This powerful radio lets you stay informed during any type of emergency. It doesn't even need batteries and comes with a hand crank generator and super bright LED flashlight. The Dynamo emergency radio includes the NOAA weather band, a long range AM receiver, a high sensitivity FM band, and even a USB jack to charge cell phones or other devices. The Dynamo emergency weather band radio retails for almost $30. But Newsmax wants to make sure you get this radio. So check out the free offer for the emergency radio by going to gettheradio.com. That's gettheradio.com or call 800-NEWSMAX. This radio could save your life. This is a limited offer and may end soon, so order today.
WMAL traffic. I'm Michelle Murray. Problems continue in Bethesda on the outer loop of the Beltway between Old Georgetown Road and the 270 spur at the curb. All lanes are blocked past Green Tree Road due to this tractor-trailer accident, and traffic is diverted at Old Georgetown Road. Also, do keep in mind that a portion of Beach Drive is closed in both directions between Connecticut Avenue and Knowles Avenue this weekend, and that to allow for a social distance recreation. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Partly cloudy skies today, some stray afternoon showers, high temperatures warm in the lower 80s. Tonight, mostly cloudy, lows back around 60 degrees. Cloudy and cooler for your Sunday, highs around 70. For Memorial Day, partly cloudy, highs in the upper 70s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
Money news that may make you laugh. This is the Stacking Benjamin Show.
Isn't it wild? What a difference a year makes.
Host Joe Salcii and crew will help you survive these troubled times.
It's only $5,000, so let's cash it out. Big, big, big mistake.
I know, I've done it.
Get great financial advice with humor.
Oh, and you know something else you get to put off for many people? Paying those student loans.
Listen and subscribe to the Stacking Benjamin Show, free on Apple Podcasts or wherever you enjoy audio.
Montgomery County Ride-On continues to provide bus service for essential workers and essential trips only. This includes healthcare workers and first responders, as well as trips for medical appointments, grocery stores, food distribution centers, and pharmacies. Face coverings must be worn and are being supplied on board buses while supplies last. Please board through the rear doors unless you need the ramp or have a disability. Montgomery County Ride-On. Stay safe. Stay strong.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage, $75 per month level rate for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110 per month, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rate guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. If you're a smoker, we have great rates available for you as well. At Termbusters, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. If you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call today for a quote at 1-800-569-5440. That's 1-800-569-5440. You're probably paying more than you should. Call Termbusters, 1-800-569-5440, or visit our website at termbusters.net. Remember, 1-800-569-5440. Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting. Exam required to qualify.
Have you met a true hero lately? Hi, it's Jonathan Cotton with the Good Feet Store, and I've been thinking about heroes that I work with. Take Reese, for example, one of our store managers. Reese served in Afghanistan and sustained significant injuries when his MRAP vehicle was disabled by an IED. He was told he would never walk without a cane. However, after he was fitted with Goodfeet arch supports, he was able to walk without a limp and without a cane. His service as a manager is exemplary, and we are proud to have Reese on the Goodfeet team. The story doesn't stop there, though. Reese fell in love and got married to a beautiful nurse named Erica. And during this pandemic, who was on the front lines taking care of COVID-19 patients? You guessed it, Erica. Heroes tend to stick together. The Goodfeet store says thank you to all of our heroes. We especially say thank you to the heroes among us, such as Reese and Erica, for the many ways they have served us all. Come by the Goodfeet store and see what Goodfeet Arch Supports can do for you. You never know. You might bump into a hero.
Now, the Saturday morning update.
105.9 FM, WMAL. Good morning. It is the Saturday morning update. I'm Rick Fowler. A happy Memorial Day weekend to you. Jeff Wolf back behind the console. Jane Houghton and our producer this morning. Plenty to cover on the political front. And among the two top stories in politics, President Trump ordering the states to allow churches to reopen this weekend. That's created some controversy, and Joe Biden creating even more controversy with some comments that he made this week. Wow. And we're going to get into those in just a moment or two, but we should let you know what we got going on. It is Memorial Day weekend, and we're going to talk with Colonel Karen Lloyd. She's with the Veterans Project, the Veterans History Project, which is at the Library of Congress. Very interesting program that they have. And really want to get into kind of the true meaning behind Memorial Day weekend. Of course, so many people look at it as the first weekend of summer, and it's time to go to the beach, and it's a long holiday weekend, and sometimes we lose sight of what Memorial Day is really about. And we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. We'll talk with John Gizzi later on. Of course, he's at Newsmax. He's the White House correspondent, chief political columnist, and we'll talk about the controversy surrounding Joe Biden. And also, what's the latest with Justin Amash? Well, maybe you don't think it's a big deal, but it could create headaches for Republicans. And we're going to talk about that with John coming up. Cheryl Atkinson will join us. She has a 30-minute interview with President Trump airing tomorrow on Full Measure. So we'll get her thoughts on how the interview will play out on Full Measure tomorrow, what the president had to say. And that's coming up in the 7 o'clock hour as well. We'll talk with KT McFarland. Of course, a lot on the revelations about the FBI investigation into General Flynn, the origins, and, of course, how close that affected KT McFarland. We're going to talk about that with her in the 7 o'clock hour as well. Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer will join us. A terror incident this week in Corpus Christi and an investigation in Pensacola. Two terror-related attacks, U.S. naval bases, and we're going to get the latest from Tony Schaefer on that coming up later on this morning. Jennifer Harper will join us, and she's got some interesting poll numbers on COVID-19 and how politics seems to enter into how you feel about COVID-19. That's coming up. And also, we're going to be talking with Natalie Carmoli. She's at Proven Winners, and we've been doing some segments with her on the different gardening ideas, and we've been running those past couple of weeks. We've got one more from her, and it's a good one for you this morning. So we have plenty to cover on the Saturday morning update. And the big political story of the week is yet another gaffe for Joe Biden. And I don't focus on the little ones where he, you know, slips up on what state he's in or calls somebody by the wrong name. But this is one that everybody's focused on this week. And it caused him to walk it back. And to give you some quick background, he was doing an interview on a show called The Breakfast Club. It's hosted by Charlemagne Tha God, and it's a very popular morning radio show. Biden was on there, and we'll give you a little sense of how that conversation was going with Charlemagne Tha God. He is African-American, and Joe Biden, and this is the conversation prior to the gaffe, just to give you kind of a sense of how that interview was playing out.
I don't know if you saw a couple weeks ago, Sean Combs, you might know him as Diddy.
Yeah.
He said what I believe a lot of black voters, including myself, feel, and that's that Democrats take black voters for granted. You know, vote's a quid pro quo, right? It's not like I don't want to vote. I just want to know what candidates will do for us in exchange for our votes. The same way young progressive Latinos, the LGBT community.
Absolutely.
We want the same thing. Do you feel like black people are owed that from the Democratic Party?
Absolutely, Bob. What did I say? Remember when I said Biden can't win the primaries?
Yes.
I kicked everybody.
Talk like that. I need you to say that. You did what?
I won overwhelmingly. I told you when I got to South Carolina, I won every single county. I won a larger share of the black vote than anybody has, including Barack. I increased the vote in Virginia overwhelmingly by 70%.
Okay, so that's Joe Biden talking with Charlemagne Tha God. And as the interview ended, this was the dialogue at the end of the interview.
It's a long way until November. We got more questions.
You got more questions. But I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump and you ain't black.
It don't have nothing to do with Trump. It has to do with the fact I want something for my community.
Wow. So you heard what Biden said. And you heard the response. I thought Charlemagne's response was really good there. He said, it ain't about Trump. So the vice president came under a lot of fire. And as an example, this was from Robert Johnson, Bob Johnson, the founder of Black Entertainment Television. This was his statement yesterday. Vice President Biden's statement represents the arrogant and out-of-touch attitude of a paternalistic white candidate who has the audacity to tell black people, the descendants of slaves, that they are not black unless they vote for him. This proves unequivocally that the Democratic nominee believes that black people owe him their vote without question, even though we as black people know it is exactly the opposite. He should spend the rest of his campaign apologizing to every black person he meets. That from Robert Johnson, Bob Johnson, the founder of Black Entertainment Television. Well, Joe Biden had to apologize, and he got on a call with the U.S. Black Chamber of Commerce members, and here's how the vice president addressed it.
I've never, ever, ever taken the African-American community for granted. I've had their support overwhelmingly, but I shouldn't have been such a wise guy. I shouldn't have been so cavalier in responding to what I thought was. I don't take it for granted at all. And no one should have to vote for any party based on their race, their religion, their background. It was really unfortunate. I shouldn't have been so cavalier.
So Joe Biden walking it back as best he could, apologizing as best he could. You will see that in Republican campaign ads, not the apology, but the statement that he made and the controversy surrounding it. That will dog him for a good while. Some have compared it to Hillary Clinton's deplorables comment, of course, she made during the Trump campaign, the Trump voters being in the basket of deplorables. But we'll see how this plays out for Joe Biden. But did create a real stir yesterday, and Biden moving as quickly as he could to put that fire out. It's 6:16. It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL, and Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center this morning.
Accident activity continues in Bethesda on the outer loop of the Beltway between Old Georgetown Road and the 270 spur at the big curve. Just past Green Tree Road, all lanes remain blocked with that longstanding tractor-trailer accident. Traffic diverted onto Old Georgetown Road, and this could be out there for some time, so do be aware of that. No other issues reported on the Beltway at this time. In Virginia, do watch out for a work zone westbound on 66 between the Beltway and Nutley Street, where you will find the left lane closed. So far, no delays. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Partly cloudy skies today, some stray afternoon showers, high temperatures warm in the lower 80s. Tonight, mostly cloudy, lows back around 60 degrees. Cloudy and cooler for your Sunday, highs around 70. For Memorial Day, partly cloudy, highs in the upper 70s. I'm ABC7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
64 degrees in the nation's capital, 617 on the Saturday morning update on WMAL.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
It's the Saturday morning update for Memorial Day weekend. I'm Rick Fowler, and it being Memorial Day weekend, I thought we'd bring a special guest on, Colonel Karen Lloyd. She is the director of the Veterans History Project at the Library of Congress. Colonel Lloyd, thank you very much for being with us.
Rick, thank you so much for having me.
Well, it is a weekend to remember those who have given their lives in service, and I think a special weekend for you. You are a Gold Star family member, and tell us a little bit about the Gold Star families, because I think that is so significant when you're talking about Memorial Day weekend.
Well, the Gold Star families really are made up of a variety of folks. It can be Gold Star wives. It can be Gold Star mothers. Again, Gold Star spouses, dads, just a whole variety of different groups that really try to celebrate their loved one's ultimate sacrifice in conflict. I mean, this is their weekend from my perspective. I'm thrilled that Arlington National Cemetery is going to be allowing family members with passes to visit their loved ones. What a special time. And because it's closed to the general public, it will be such an intimate moment where they'll be able to gather and really pay their respects and also let their loved ones know that they do remember them. And that's really what the Veterans History Project is all about as well. 3 years ago, Congress passed a law that allows us now to incorporate and include those Gold Star families so that the husbands and the wives and the children and the parents and the brothers and sisters can all talk about their loved one and their remembrances of them so that they won't be lost. And that's absolutely essential.
Tell us a little bit about the history of the Gold Star family designation.
Well, the Gold Star family designation really started, as I understand it, in World War One. And if you had a family member that was serving overseas, there was a flag that you would put in your window. And the flag, the number of stars on the flag were the number of family members that were serving overseas. And those flags had blue stars. And if something happened and the family member died, that blue star turned to gold. And that's really where it came from. And it was really big in World War II as well. Not so much in Vietnam, but it really made a resurgence, if you will, during Desert Storm and in the current conflicts that we're having today.
Now, the Veterans History Project at the Library of Congress is a program that really anyone listening this morning can participate in. So tell us about the project.
Well, the Veterans History Project is all about for volunteers to reach out to the veterans in their lives and their communities and listen, really listen to those stories, and then interview those veterans. If they have paper-based materials like photographs and letters and diaries or memoirs, donate those to the Library of Congress so that we can take care of them for future generations and make sure that those stories are not lost.
So you're listening this morning. There may be a drawer at your house that has some memories. There could be a trunk that is in the basement or the attic. I mean, what types of things are you looking for that people, you know, may overlook or may not think would be significant?
Well, the one that comes to my mind immediately are letters. I got a call about a year ago from a gentleman in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, who said, "We were cleaning out our folks' attic and we found two shoeboxes and they're full of letters. Is it something you might be interested in?" And I said, "Oh," as my heart is fluttering, "tell me more." And he said, "Well, they're from between my parents from 1941 to 1946 when he was overseas." I said, "Absolutely, we would love to have them." He said, "Well, I plan on scanning them. I'll send you the scans." And I said, "No, we only take originals, but we're backed up by a world-class conservation preservation lab. So please make your scans. Please keep your scans so you have the content. But then send the originals to us. And I absolutely promise you we'll take great care of them for you and for future generations."
For someone listening this morning, where can they experience the Veterans History Project?
Oh, my gosh, what a great question. The best place to go is our website. It's loc.gov/vets with an S. And there you'll find lots of different things. We have a variety of collections that are, you can search our collections by state, by name, by unit, by conflict in a variety of different ways to find the stories that you're looking for. What's as much fun is our research librarian has done a series of what we call episodes, and they're called Experiencing War, and they're based on different themes. And there's everything from VE Day. There's one on Tuskegee Airmen. There's one on medics. There's one on chaplains. There's one on aviators. There's one on World War II. There's one on family members, because what we're seeing a lot is perhaps someone served in Vietnam, and now their children are serving in the current conflicts, and it's having that juxtapose of what their service is like and how it's different and how it's the same, if you will. I would encourage everyone to go up our website, loc.gov/vets, check out the Experiencing War episodes. You can't miss them. And one of my favorites is called The Art of War. And it is where veterans donated artwork that they did, two-dimensional artwork that they did, drawings mostly, of when they were in service, and most of it was used to relieve their stress. And it's really fascinating to see what they chose, not just to depict, but also what they chose to give to us.
Well, especially on Memorial Day weekend, what a wonderful resource. And tell us once again how to access the Veterans History Project at the Library of Congress.
It's loc.gov/vets, and there you can find a field kit that tells you how to do it. You can find a video that talks about how to do it. You'll have our email address, vohp@loc.gov, and you can contact us if you'd like us to come to you at no cost and do a workshop. In these times of pandemic, safety is all important, so what we want to do is do that workshop virtually. We've already done virtual workshops, and they've been incredibly successful, so I'm really heartened by the fact that people are interested.
Colonel Karen Lloyd, Director of the Veterans History Project at the Library of Congress, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, Rick, thank you so much for having me.
And once again, the website address, if you do want to check it out, it's loc.gov/vets. And I think that would be a really good website to check out over this long Memorial Day holiday weekend. It's 6:25. It's the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I love you, Amy.
The time is now to rise up. Gone are the days of being locked into one data option by your wireless company. We're humans. We need flexibility. Let us change our data options when we want to. It's time we call the shots on our phone bills. It's time we took a stand and switched to Xfinity Mobile. We can switch data options anytime, all online. Only Xfinity Mobile works for the people.
Hey, what about 5G?
Yes, 5G is now included with all new data options at no extra cost. One more thing. Pineapple belongs on pizza. It should be on every pizza. Should have quit while I was ahead.
Switch and save up to $400 a year on your wireless bill. Your wireless, your rules. Only with Xfinity Mobile. Now that's simple, easy, awesome. Go to XfinityMobile.com or call 1-800-XFINITY today. Restrictions apply. Requires postpay Xfinity Internet 5G in select locations only.
Larry O'Connor here for my good friends at Renters Warehouse. Renters Warehouse is DC's most respected property manager because they know this market. And with the current pandemic situation, now is a great opportunity for property owners. People choose renting in times of uncertainty. And right now, inventory is down and demand is high. Whether you own one property or a dozen, Renters Warehouse has the tools to find high quality tenants while following all safety guidelines, including virtual tours and self-showing capabilities. And with their security deposit free option, you can attract more tenants while protecting your home and cash flow. Renters Warehouse finds awesome tenants in just 17 days on average, and they take rent collection, maintenance, inspections, and paperwork safely off your plate. There's no upfront fees, and they'll even warranty your renters. Go to rwdcnova.com to book your free virtual or in-person home rental price appointment today, or call 571-489-8134. That's 571-489-8134. Renters Warehouse DC. You'll always have a home with us.
It is the Saturday Morning Update. We're at 6:27 and another major political story of the morning. And this involves President Trump. And there was a, what the Associated Press calls, a hastily arranged press conference at the White House yesterday afternoon. I would imagine most of them are hastily arranged at the White House. But anyway, the president said that he has deemed churches and other houses of worship essential and is calling on governors to allow them to reopen this weekend despite the threat of the coronavirus. Here's what the president had to say.
Today I'm identifying houses of worship, churches, synagogue, and mosques as essential places that provide essential services. Some governors have deemed liquor stores and abortion clinics as essential, but have left out churches and other houses of worship. It's not right. So I'm correcting this injustice and calling houses of worship essential.
So that was the first part of it. And then here's where the controversy arises as he addresses the nation's governors.
I call upon governors to allow our churches and places of worship to open right now. If there's any question, they're going to have to call me, but they're not going to be successful in that call. These are places that hold our society together and keep our people united. The people are demanding to go to church and synagogue, go to their mosque. Many millions of Americans embrace worship as an essential part of life.
So that's President, and he says if governors do not abide by his request, he will, quote, override them. And there is a lack of clarity as to what authority he has to do so. But that will, of course, be a hot topic, and we shall see how that plays out across the country throughout the Memorial Day weekend. In some of the other news stories this weekend that we're following, the UN disarmament chief says the COVID-19 pandemic is moving the world toward increased technological innovation and online collaboration, but at the same time, quote, cybercrime is also on the rise, with a 600% increase in malicious emails during the current crisis. End of quote. That from the UN disarmament chief. The meeting of the UN Security Council yesterday is where that took place. He said, quote, there have also been worrying reports of attacks against healthcare organizations and medical research facilities worldwide. Also saying the growing digital dependency has increased the vulnerability to cyber attacks, and it is estimated that one such attack takes place every 30 seconds. Hertz has filed for bankruptcy protection. They've been unable to withstand the coronavirus pandemic that has crippled global travel, and with it, the heavily indebted 102-year-old car rental company. They're based in Florida. Their lenders unwilling to grant it another extension on its auto lease debt payments past a Friday deadline. It triggered the filing yesterday. By the end of March, Hertz had more than $24 billion in debt, with only $1 billion of available cash. Starting in mid-March, the company lost all revenues when travel nearly shut down due to the novel coronavirus. Hertz also has been plagued by management upheaval, naming its fourth CEO in 6 years on May 18th. U.S. Department of Justice sent a letter to the mayor of Los Angeles warning that an extension of the coronavirus stay-at-home orders may be unlawful. The letter, sent Friday from the Assistant Attorney General for the Civil Rights Division, said recent comments by Mayor Eric Garcetti suggest a prolonged shutdown may be arbitrary and heavy-handed. The letter comes as the federal government has sided with churches that want to resume services in the face of policies in many states that forbid such gatherings until the spread of the virus is further under control. Millions of Californians are heading into the Memorial Day weekend with both excitement and anxiety. Restrictions to control the spread of coronavirus were eased across much of the state. More than 40 counties have now been allowed to move beyond takeout service and curbside shopping in the most drastic scaling back of the stay-at-home order since the governor issued them in March. California was the first in the nation to issue such a statewide mandate. It was among the last to loosen restrictions. Police, lifeguards, and other officials warning people to not forget about the seriousness of the coronavirus. It's 6:32. It's time for a check of the traffic and weather on WMAL. Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
In Bethesda, on the outer loop of the Beltway, all lanes remain blocked between Old Georgetown Road and the 270 spur with the tractor-trailer accident. This just passed Green Tree Road, and traffic is diverted at Old Georgetown Road, and this could be in place for quite some time. Now, there is also some road work to watch out for right now. Westbound on 66 between the Beltway and Nutley Street in the left lane. That is not causing any delays. In the district, keep in mind that Taylor Street is closed in northeast in both directions between 12th Street and 13th Street, and that for water main repairs. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Partly cloudy skies today, some stray afternoon showers, high temperatures warm in the lower 80s. Tonight, mostly cloudy, lows back around 60 degrees. Cloudy and cooler for your Sunday, highs around 70. For Memorial Day, partly cloudy, highs in the upper 70s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
64 degrees in Washington, 6:33 on the Saturday morning update on WMAL.
Get a credit card that gives you what you need now. A low interest rate on everyday purchases and a place to transfer high interest rate balances. The PenFed Gold Contactless Card is our lowest interest rate credit card. You can even earn a $100 statement credit when you spend $1,500 in the first 90 days. Join PenFed and together we can help you keep more of what's yours. Visit PenFed.org/goldcard. To receive any advertised product, you must become a member of PenFed, insured by NCUA.
Wash your hands, avoid sick people, and touching your face. There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Have you met a true hero lately? Hi, it's Jonathan Cotton with the Good Feet Store, and I've been thinking about heroes that I work with. Take Reese, for example, one of our store managers. Reese served in Afghanistan and sustained significant injuries when his MRAP vehicle was disabled by an IED. He was told he would never walk without a cane. However, after he was fitted with Good Feet Arch Supports, he was able to walk without a limp and without a cane. His service as a manager is exemplary, and we are proud to have Reese on the Goodfeet team. The story doesn't stop there, though. Reese fell in love and got married to a beautiful nurse named Erica. And during this pandemic, who was on the front lines taking care of COVID-19 patients? You guessed it, Erica. Heroes tend to stick together. The Goodfeet store says thank you to all of our heroes. We especially say thank you to the heroes among us, such as Reese and Erica, for the many ways they have served us all. Come by the Goodfeet store and see what Goodfeet Arch Supports can do for you. You never know. You might bump into a hero.
This is a commercial announcement. Picture this scenario. A shortage of fuel has closed your electric utility, or any possible disaster has just devastated your town. You're out of power, no lights, and no news. That's why federal and state agencies urge every home to have an emergency radio. Now you can get a free Dynamo World Band emergency radio. This powerful radio lets you stay informed during any type of emergency. It doesn't even need batteries and comes with a hand crank generator and super bright LED flashlight. The Dynamo emergency radio includes the NOAA weather band, a long range AM receiver, a high sensitivity FM band, and even a USB jack to charge cell phones or other devices. The Dynamo emergency weather band radio retails for almost $30, but Newsmax wants to make sure you get this radio. So check out the free offer for the emergency radio by going to gettheradio.com. That's gettheradio.com or call 800-NEWSMAX. This radio could save your life. This is a limited offer and may end soon, so order today.
It's Memorial Day weekend on the Saturday Morning Update. I'm Rick Fowler. We're joined by Jennifer Harper, who writes Inside the Beltway at the Washington Times. Good morning.
Good morning, Rick.
Media bias is something we hear a lot about. Some interesting poll numbers, and we like to talk about poll numbers a lot with you because you kind of assess the pulse of the nation, what people are thinking. But what are the poll numbers saying about how Americans react to this whole notion of media bias?
Well, here's the interesting thing about that. Americans, like Americans in the heartland and grassroots Americans and all kinds of Americans, are suddenly discovering what people like the Media Research Center and Accuracy in Media and other analysis-driven organizations have said for many years, and that is that there is a liberal bias in the media, and it's particularly gotten bad with President Trump. And you have to remember that media bias is not a new phenomenon, Rick. I did a lot of history this week. Did not put myself to sleep, but actually woke myself up a little bit because liberal bias in the media was first detected, according to my research, in the 1970s. And it was later confirmed by a gentleman who is a local man, and he's a very smart guy. This is Robert Lichter. He is a Harvard-educated founder of the Center for Media and Public Affairs. That's actually at George Mason University. He's a longtime analyst about these matters. And this is what he did. This is how inventive he was. He actually polled journalists many years ago and asked them who they normally voted for, and he found out that up to 94% of the news media were supporting Democratic presidential candidates. And only 17% described their ideology as right of center. The year was 1980. So there you go. And Mr. Lichter was the one who coined the term media elite. So coming in on that, we now have a very comprehensive survey from John McLaughlin. He's also a veteran in the media wars. He's a pollster and lots more. And he reveals with a new poll this week that Americans are finally not ignoring the phenomenon of media bias because it's getting more extreme. Here is what he asked the respondents, Mr. McLaughlin. He said, regarding the national media's coverage of President Trump's handling of the coronavirus emergency, would you say that too many members of the media have been unfair, biased, and even disrespectful to the president, or that the media has been fair, unbiased, and always respectful to the president? Well, you can guess what's coming here. It's actually very interesting. It revealed that just about half of the respondents, this is Americans in general, 48% of the respondents overall, they agreed that the media was unfair, biased, and rude. How about that? And that includes 81% of Republicans, 50% of independents, and even 15% of Democrats, which kind of gave me a little smile. But anyway, the poll also asked if both Democrats and the news media are trying to move blame for the spread of the coronavirus away from China and onto President Trump for partisan political gain just to win the November elections. Again, very surprising. Half of the respondents, 49% of Americans, agreed with this. That goes along with 80% of Republicans, 47% of independents, and surprisingly enough, 22% of Democrats. And meanwhile, another 51% of Americans agreed that Mr. Trump should continue to fight for change in Washington. Isn't that something? Well, anyway, that's your poll of the morning, and it's kind of revealing that Americans are kind of getting woke to liberal bias. And to top that all off, a new Gallup poll finds Mr. Trump with a 49% approval rating. A Hill-Harris-X poll finds the president with 50% approval.
You know, it's kind of funny that went straight down party lines. No big surprises there. However, you also had an article about progressives feeling that they're being dissed by the media.
Yes, indeed. How about that? There's another group who are also very annoyed at the media and their treatment by the media, not just Republicans, who are all vexed at the press right now. And I'm going to read you something from Our Revolution. Now, you may not know this group, but they were formed back in 2016 to aid Bernie Sanders' campaign for president. They're a grassroots group and a very large one. And here's what they say. The corporate media wants to crush our movement. Pretty strong language there. They say the systemic corruption of our political system is held in place by a corporate media that relies on advertising dollars from the same corporations that pollute our planet, profit from lack of affordable health coverage, and rig the economy in their favor. That's why publications like Politico have recently been so eager to attack Our Revolution and our progressive allies. Again, this is Our Revolution saying this in a public statement. They also say that the media hopes to demoralize our movement because, like New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, they see COVID-19 as an opportunity to crush progressive policies that are becoming more popular every day, and we won't stand for it. So that's certainly going to make the election interesting as we go forward.
While we're talking about progressives and Bernie Sanders supporters, obviously they would like to see Joe Biden swing in their direction. There's been some pressure from some of the progressive movement, including Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Bernie Sanders. But what does that mean in terms of the overall election picture for Joe Biden?
Well, it's a very tricky business, and I think Mr. Biden's campaign knows that they can really try with radical ideas and progressive ideas and socialist ideas and all that kind of stuff to try to appeal to the huge millennial voting bloc. It's as big as the baby boomers, my goodness, and certainly AOC would be a good ally to have. But some are now saying that Mr. Biden can actually hand off the election to President Trump by going off on all sorts of grand socialist ideas and bold policy, rather than emphasizing that he'd provide an even-paced, kind of a sane administration, because America's pretty jittery right now. And I have an analysis here from syndicated columnist Ben Shapiro, often a very smart guy. Anyway, he says somehow the Biden campaign has decided to abandon Biden's greatest advantage, his promise of a sedated interregnum. Now, I think I pronounced that right, but I didn't know what that meant. And I'm going to say, I'm going to be honest about that. And I had to look it up in the dictionary. And according to Merriam-Webster, interregnum, if I have not pronounced it right, I'm sorry, is the time between two successive regimes or when normal functions of government or control are suspended. So that's what he means by that, that Mr. Biden would present a very nice, easygoing interim here. But right now, Mr. Biden is pushing for change. Actually, to the New York Times, they said that the former vice president, are racing to assemble a new governing agenda that meets the extraordinary time, and they agree it might be far bolder than anything the party establishment has embraced before. Mr. Shapiro is saying, maybe not a very good idea right now. So here's what Mr. Shapiro says. But do Americans really want the world remade, or are they simply longing for the world of 4 months ago when unemployment stood at 3.5%, when incomes were rising at the lowest end of the income scale, when Americans could attend events without fear of infection and death? Are Americans truly desperate for a reshaping of our medical system, a universal basic income, and trillions in debt, Mr. Shapiro asks. Biden seems to be betting on the latter, and that's idiocy of the highest order. It completely undermines his entire case for the nomination. It allows Trump to place the new radical agenda front and center rather than his own foibles, and Biden's go-for-broke strategy is a massive opportunity for Trump. Again, that's coming from Ben Shapiro. Interesting idea, and I thought it has some logic to it.
When you gave us the poll numbers a few minutes ago on media bias, we could see how that kind of cuts right down the middle along with political lines. How does it look on the feelings about COVID-19? You've got a new study on that.
Yes, I do. Well, there's I'm calling it a viral divide here, because if you ask people, when will the coronavirus pandemic end? Well, that kind of depends on who you ask, because the differences of opinion between Republicans and Democrats on this matter are pretty stark. All right, let's go into the poll here. This is an Economist YouGov poll. It was released, which was conducted actually very concurrently, May 10th through 12th. They asked respondents, when will the worst part of the pandemic be behind us? And 43% of Republicans said that the nation had passed the worst part of the health crisis, and only 8% of Democrats agreed with that. Another 6 out of 10 Democrats also believe that the pandemic is going to get worse. Only 20% of Republicans believe that. And nearly equal numbers of Democrats and Republicans, just under a quarter, about 24%, think that we're in the worst part of the pandemic right now, while under 15% of both sides are not sure where we stand. So it kind of looks like the Republicans are more anxious for it to be over, Democrats not so much, and it's one of those things that's worth following.
And Florida has been in the headlines a lot this week. There was a lot of criticism of Governor DeSantis and his reopening of the state. He's pushed back pretty hard. You've got a story on the Florida governor.
Actually, I have what I'm calling the headline of the day. I often watch for headlines which are very telling for the moment, and this was the one for this week. And here is your headline of the day. Actually, it occurred about on Thursday, I believe. But anyway, Florida's Governor DeSantis brings out his inner Trump. This was a headline in the American Thinker. This is what they have to say. Governor Ron DeSantis gave conservatives a thrill when he let the media know how awful their behavior had been regarding Florida's approach to the coronavirus. It was a performance that would have made President Trump proud, because DeSantis, instead of accepting and defending against the media's pro-Democrat narrative, attacked the media for having a narrative in the first place. And this is coming from Andrea Widberg. She is a contributor to the American Thinker. Again, that headline, Florida's Governor DeSantis brings out his inner Trump. And maybe we'll see some more people bringing out their inner Trump in the near future.
We're going to see a lot of it between now and November 3rd. Normally, a number of us would be going down to the mall to watch Rolling Thunder this weekend. They won't be rolling here, but they will be rolling.
Oh, yes, indeed. Rolling Thunder, like everyone else, is affected by the coronavirus. And they were in Washington for 32 years. Think about that. On their Ride for Freedom, which is helping out our veterans, remembering our missing in action, POWs. And what they are doing is having nationwide rides that are very small in scale in appealing to the local social distancing and stuff. I had a nice chat with Artie Muller. He's the founder of that group. And so you can keep track of that. And it's just a message to say that Rolling Thunder did not go away and still alive and kicking.
Jennifer Harper, Inside the Beltway, Washington Times. Thank you very much. Have a great Memorial Day weekend, and you'll see that story on Rolling Thunder in Monday's Washington Times. Thank you.
Thank you, Rick. Have a good weekend and a good holiday, everybody.
Thank you. It is 6:49. It is the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. Michelle Murray is in the WMAL Traffic Center this morning.
On the Beltway in Bethesda, on the outer loop, you will still find all lanes blocked between Old Georgetown Road and the 270 spur with this longstanding tractor-trailer accident, and traffic is being diverted onto Old Georgetown Road. Also keep in mind in Bethesda that Arlington Road is closed in both directions between the Little Falls Parkway and Kenwood Forest Lane to allow for social distance recreation. That will be in effect all weekend. And this also holds true for Beach Drive. That will be closed between Connecticut Avenue and Knowles Avenue also for the social distance recreation. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Partly cloudy skies today, some stray afternoon showers, high temperatures warm in the lower 80s. Tonight mostly cloudy, lows back around 60 degrees. Cloudy and cooler for your Sunday, highs around 70. For Memorial Day, partly cloudy, highs in the upper 70s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
64 degrees in the nation's capital, 6:50 on the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
Memorial Day weekend on the Saturday Morning Update. Thank you very much for spending part of your holiday with us. And we want to thank Natalie Carmoli for spending part of her holiday with us. And she is at Proven Winners. She's a public relations specialist. And we've been talking a lot over the past few weeks about some of the neat things you can do in the garden this time of the year and really spruce things up for the summer. Natalie, nice to have you with us again.
I am happy to be here, Rick, and happy Memorial Day weekend to all your listeners.
We spent a lot of time talking about roses recently, but let's talk about something different, and that is the butterfly bush. It's a very popular bush in this region, and I think some people may be a little troubled because of the cold weather we've had so late in the spring. What does that mean for the butterfly bush?
That's a great question. I think you pointed out that it's been a cool spring, and that's really in a lot of regions affected how early things are starting to leaf out. So things are maybe running a little bit later than you're used to seeing them leafing out, or your blooming plants might be blooming a little later than you're used to seeing them. And that's normal when you have a cool spring. But with butterfly bushes in particular, they bloom out, or they start to leaf out even later than a lot of your other shrubs. So they can be a little particular to grow. But when it comes to butterfly bushes, if you have one already in your garden, if it was happy where it was planted last year, it's most likely just fine. It's just taking a little bit longer for the leaves to come out. They tend to be one of the later plants that will, that are going to leaf out in spring. So even when everything else in your landscape is turning green, doesn't mean you've lost your butterfly bush. In some areas, you might even have to wait as late as Father's Day to see them wake up. But once they do, they will take off and they'll be beautiful for you all summer.
Some of the most beautiful plants and bushes and shrubs and things can be kind of picky. They can be particular. And what are some of the things to keep in mind if you're going to be planting a butterfly bush?
Well, butterfly bushes, which are also called buddleia, so if you hear me refer to them as buddleia, I am talking about the butterfly bush. If you want to have great success with them, you need to plant them where they're going to get at least 8 hours of bright sunlight every day. They love a lot of sun every day. That's how you're going to get the most flowers and the healthiest foliage. Also, butterfly bushes hate to have wet feet. So what that means is they don't like to have their roots sitting in cold, wet soil. In fact, most of the time, if you do lose a butterfly bush after the winter, it wasn't because the temperatures were low or snow or ice or a late spring or anything like that. It was probably because that plant sat in cold, wet soil in the fall or the spring. So if you're thinking about adding one to your garden, get out to your local garden center, choose a new butterfly bush, but just be sure to plant it where it can stay high and dry and get lots of sun. So when you plant it, I also want to mention, don't create problems with drainage. Remember, you're going to try to keep that well drained, try to keep its feet dry by adding anything extra to your soil. All you need to do is plant it in your existing soil. You don't need to add compost or any other kind of soil amendments. And then keep the very top of that root ball a little bit visible. That'll keep water from pooling around the base of the plant. And when you're siting it in your garden, keep it away from sprinklers. Just remember, high and dry and lots of sun.
Now, when you say butterfly bush and you go into the garden center and you say, gee, I'd like to get a butterfly bush, there's not just one butterfly bush. How many varieties are there?
You are correct. Proven Winners has a few lines of butterfly bushes, actually, and they're all perfect for any home gardener. The Lo and Behold line of butterfly bush has 7 colors and sizes, and it's a sterile variety, so it's also non-invasive. There's white Lo and Behold ice chip, there's lilac chip, or a deep blue chip. These plants are guaranteed to be full of flowers for you all summer, and they'll bring the butterflies to your garden from miles away. Now, if you're looking for a smaller plant, you can look for Lo and Behold Pink Microchip or Blue Chip Junior. They're both going to stay under 3 feet tall and wide. But while I'm talking about small butterfly bushes, I also want to talk about a line that we have called the Pugster line of butterfly bush. These little butterfly bushes are just about 2 feet tall and wide, but they have huge full-size flowers on that little tiny frame. Now, there are 5 colors in the Pugster line, but my personal favorite is Pugster Amethyst. This is a new variety, and the flowers have a really soft, velvety look, and they're this gorgeous shade of lavender. In fact, we were growing some outside our office last summer, and I had to take a picture of one of the flowers because up against my hand, it was actually longer than my hand. So like I said, Pugster Amethyst is brand new, so you might have to ask for it by name at your local plant nursery or garden center, but you really can't go wrong with any of the Lo and Behold or Pugster line of butterfly bush from Proven Winners Color Choice.
One of the things that I have found is going to a local independent garden center, you will find that you have people behind the counter. Typically, these are people that have been in the neighborhood. They've been in the community for decades. Sometimes it's family-owned and operated. So I've always encouraged people to go to the local independent garden centers when they want to pick up something, especially like this, that you're going to want to have for years to come.
That's true. People at your local garden center, you know, this is their life, and they're trained to be able to help you choose the right plant for your situation. So we do always encourage you to check with your local garden center or your plant nursery when you're shopping for plants and garden supplies. Now, if you want to find any of these butterfly bushes that we talked about today, you can just look for Proven Winners Color Choice Shrubs. They're in that distinctive white container. You can also find full details about our full line of butterfly bushes and all of the shrubs we carry at provenwinners-shrubs.com.
Natalie Carmoli at Proven Winners, as always, thank you very, very much, and enjoy the rest of your Memorial Day weekend.
Thank you. You do that, too.
We will do our best. It is 6:57. It's the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. Heather Curtis has the 7 o'clock news coming up. Then we've got John Gizzi. He is the White House correspondent, chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. We'll talk about the Joe Biden controversy. And if you have not heard exactly what Joe Biden said and his apology, we'll have that for you as well when we talk to John. So that's coming up. We've also got KT McFarland, Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, and Cheryl Atkinson. Cheryl has a full half-hour interview with President Trump on Full Measure tomorrow. So we'll find out from Cheryl what he will be talking about on the program. So stay with us on WMAL.
Don't miss the Giant Barbecue Battle virtual experience benefiting USO Metro and the Capital Area Food Bank.
From June 1st through 30th,
America's virtual food and music festival heats up summer with interactive activities including cooking contests, monumental sports zone, giant corks to caps, special giveaways, and more.
Learn to cook like a pro from America's best chefs.
Then enter barbecue contests for a chance to win thousands of prizes.
Watch your favorite bands on the Pepsi Lays, Famous Dave's, and Monster Energy stages. Admission is free. Visit bbqdc.com for details.
What should you be doing right now to get ready to sell or buy a home? With the COVID virus shutting down normal life for an unspecified time, how can you prepare? Join me, Eric Stewart, the host of the Eric Stewart Real Estate Shows here on WMAL, for a very special series of webinars called How to Buy or Sell Real Estate in the COVID-19 Global Pandemic. On the webinar, I'll show you how to prepare your home for sale even if you can't get rid of your stuff. We'll cover virtual staging. We'll also talk about why the current bull market will remain intact and only get stronger. Also, I'll cover questions that you might want to ask a realtor before you hire one and how to negotiate through a home inspection. I'll also answer questions about any issues you have with the condition of your home or potential hardships that you might be facing. Sign up today at ericstewartgroup.com. That's ericstewartgroup.com. Questions? Call us 1-800-900-9104. That's 1-800-900-9104.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM WMAL. A Cumulus station. News now.
WMAL News at 7. Good morning. I'm Heather Curtis. Democratic presidential hopeful Joe Biden apologizing after telling black radio host Charlamagne the God on The Breakfast Club that, quote, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me,